Proverbs 1, 7 through 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Proverbs 1, 7 through 9. Proverbs 29, 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Proverbs 29, 2. Job 36, 11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Job 36, 11. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes? The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. You will see this passage of Scripture on the back of your bulletin today. You will see the passage of Scripture in your Bible if you have your Bible in hand. So, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In just a few moments, we'll begin reading with verse 1, and we'll read down through several verses. We're here today again to study God's Word, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We spend just a moment in prayer before we begin our study, as always realizing God gives us a system by which we can understand His Word. We call that system the grace system of comprehension. And that simply means that when we're cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, we're able to understand God's Word and metabolize it and utilize it. And that's the reason for us being here every time we come together to study God's Word, to advance spiritually. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity now to focus our minds again upon Thy wonderful Word. Thy Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway, and we're thankful for the privilege which is ours to study and to advance spiritually. Our purpose for being here, as always, is to receive the mind of Jesus Christ. We have the Bible, we have the completed canon of Scripture. We have the wonderful ministry of the Spirit of God. We have so many logistical provisions. We're thankful for all of the blessings of life. And in this time now that we're studying, we pray that You will help us to be able to focus properly upon these eternal truths. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. A good name is better than fine perfume. The day of death better than the day of birth. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 3, sorrow is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5, it is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the song of fools. Like the crackling of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of fools. This too is meaningless. Extortion turns a wise man into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Verse 10, do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise to ask such question. It is extremely important that we as Christians have the right attitude. The thing that motivates, empowers, and strengthens and causes us to rejoice in daily living is our thinking. Proper thinking can come only when persistent consistence overrules insistent resistance. Let me see if I can say that again so that you can understand what I mean by that sentence. Proper thinking can come only when persistent consistence overrules insistent resistance. The sinful nature of every individual presents an insistent resistance to Christian growth and development. So there must be a continual persistence in daily intake of spiritual food. As the attitude is the sum total of a man's thinking, that thinking can be vertical rather than horizontal. You and I can think properly or we can think improperly. We've already talked about the fact of what it means to be an aristocrat. Aristocrat simply means that we have the proper attitudes toward life. Someone said thoughts will either make you or break you. Years ago, Joseph Stalin, General Secretary of the Soviet Communist Party, started studying the Illuminati. The Illuminati is to be translated as the people of the light, referring to several groups and to prevailing conspiracy theories about some of these groups' importance or continued influence in the modern world. Most specifically, the Illuminati were a radical group in Bavaria, founded in 1776, which gave rise to other countries also forming Illuminati groups. The Bavarian Illuminati, as well as its offshoot groups, was a secret society to which many politicians and intellectuals were drawn. There's a man's name by the name of Weishaupt, Adam Weishaupt. That name is spelled Weishaupt. We pronounce it Weishaupt. Born in 1748, he declared that reason was to become the religion of mankind. The Illuminati platform had a sixfold attitude. I want to read those to you. The sixfold platform of the Illuminati. First, utter destruction of monarchy and other forms of nation government. Number two, the abolition of private property. Number three, the abolition of inheritance. Number four, the abolition of patriotism, that is, devotion to country, which sustains nationalism. Number five, the abolition of marriage and family life. Number six, abolition of what they called religion, which really meant God's word, spiritual food residing in the soul. Before Joe Stalin was the premier of Russia in 1932, the year I was born, he set forth a plan to destroy and conquer the United States without firing a shot. Most of you are aware of the fact that Joe Stalin lived 75 years, from 1878 to 1953. He became the General Secretary of the Communist Party in 1922 and remained so until 1953. He said, let's look at the points that we need to consider. He set forth a plan to destroy and conquer the United States. I'm going to read these to you. One, by philosophy, mysticism, development of liberal cults, the furtherance of atheism, and where necessary to discredit Christian creeds and doctrines. Number two, Stalin said that there must be the destruction of marriage. In socialism, the family is evidently eventually replaced by the state. Children are to be removed from their homes at the age of six or seven, sometimes earlier. Number three, in the realm of the aesthetic or fine arts, they said cultivate the ugly, the futuristic, and the deviating from the ordinary or normal in the area of literature, drama, and music. Number four, Stalin said also, create unrest, suspicion, and revolt among working classes. Promote class warfare. Number five, standardize the cheap and shoddy. Exchange all foreign currency at slight discount for United States gold and gradually get all U.S. gold out of circulation. Number six, set up the idea of thinking that if you take a thought away from someone, you must give them something to play with so that their mind can rumble around with the things that stimulate their arrogance. Think internationally so as to undermine patriotism and preparation for defense. Lenin said, when a country is selected for an attack, we must first set up before the youth of the land a mental barrage which will forever prohibit the possibility of that youth being molded into an armed force to oppose us. In Romans chapter 12, verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. This does not mean to think the same thoughts. It means to have the same mental attitude through truth in the soul. Express the attitude of aristocracy. Appreciate the imputed righteousness. The attitude expresses royalty and should be the attitude of those who are born into the kingdom of God. What I'm trying to do today is to let you know that the Scripture has some things to say about the attitude of the believer. As I've always said, it is extremely important that we, as Christians, have the right attitude. The thing that motivates, the thing that empowers, the thing that strengthens and causes us to rejoice in daily living is the way we think. We all have sinful natures. Our sinful nature in each and every one of us is a continual, insistent resistance to Christian advance and development. When I look at this passage of Scripture, I'm amazed. As I've always said, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it says, a good name is better than perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. Sorrow is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the songs of fools. Attitude. Let me give you some points now on the subject of attitude. First of all, I want to ask the question, what do we mean by attitude? Attitude is the disposition of mankind, the sum total of what we think. Attitude determines the manifested personality of the individual. What do we mean by attitude? It's the disposition of mankind, the sum total of our thinking. Attitude determines the manifested personality. It's interesting, when you go to the book of Proverbs, you'll read, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. We usually don't read that part of the passage. The part that we read is, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Then they reread Proverbs 23, 6 and 7. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Eat not thou the bread of him that hath an evil eye. You and I have the responsibility not to listen, nor heed, nor receive, nor utilize thinking that is satanic. There is two types of genius in this world. There's the genius of God on the one hand, there's the genius of Satan on the other hand. And you and I will be either listening to one or the other. And when we listen to the satanic thinking, we're going to find ourselves without the attitude of aristocracy. We all know that God has for us His message. The message is right here in this magnificent book. We have the thinking of Jesus Christ right here. We have God's message designed for us to be happy, radiant, successful, prosperous, spiritual individuals. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, we have to have the right attitude. And the attitude is the attitude of aristocracy. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Then the verse goes on, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You and I receive on a daily basis either God's thinking or satanic thinking. We have the responsibility of receiving God's thinking. The only way we receive God's thinking is to receive the impartation, dissemination, communication of truth. We do that as we study. That's my responsibility, to take the Bible and open it and not give you necessarily what I think, but what does the Bible say? That's the reason why we've looked today at the better than. A good name is better than perfume. We all enjoy the aroma of cologne when it's wonderful. A good name is better than fine perfume. The day of death is better than the day of birth. It's better to go to a funeral than to go to a party. Sorrow is better than laughter. It's better to be rebuked by a wise man than to listen to the songs of the fools. Better is the end of a matter than its beginning. Patience is better than pride. There are seven better thans in the Scripture. When we receive God's thinking, we are receiving the genius of our Heavenly Father. When we listen to the control of our old sinful natures and when we listen to what satanic thinking is, then we are finding ourselves traveling the low road. The low road that will eventually lead to discipline and to various types of discipline. And if we do not pay attention to that, it will take us into the area of the sin and the death. We can get God's thinking if we desire it. If we don't pay attention to God's thinking, then we're going to be receiving satanic thinking. You do not get rid of satanic thinking by prayer. You don't get on your knees and pray, Lord, forgive me of my satanic thinking. There's only one way to get rid of satanic thinking, and that is to get a different type of thinking. We have to have the bulldozer of God's grace, God's Word, to come along and scrape off satanic thinking a little bit at a time. And as that grater gets deeper and deeper, moving aside and getting rid of, trashing satanic thinking, it is then that we will have the thinking of our Lord. We're bombarded with satanic thinking a lot more than we're bombarded with the thinking of our Lord. When I think in terms of me standing here communicating from this book two times on Sunday and one time on Wednesday night, and compare that to the many hours that you have tuned in to the things of this world, you can see very rapidly the influence of the world. Now, I know that years ago we had six Bible classes a week. It would be good, I think, if we had about seven or eight per week now. We'll find out what you're made of if we started class at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning to see if you could make it here before you go to work. We're living in a day when it's time for people to realize the seriousness of being an aristocrat, because that's what you are as a member of the royal family. I've really not called on you to be all that dedicated. Do you realize that? I've not asked you to sacrifice. Some of you even have difficulty now in the three sessions that we have. And I have to say, shame on you because of the fact that we don't even have any idea what it is to make a sacrifice as a member of aristocracy. We give time and attention to everything in this world other than having the mind of Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why we're not very aristocratic. You say, well, preacher, I didn't come here today to get a spanking. But we all need it, don't we? What do we mean by attitude? What is the meaning of the attitude of aristocracy? It's the disposition of mankind, the sum total of what we think. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Number two, there's a conflict of attitude. Conflict of attitude is one of the greatest conflicts of all. When I go to the book of Isaiah, here's what I read. Isaiah 55, 6 and following. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then we read, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In other words, we have a conflict today of attitude. The greatest conflict in all the world is in relationship to attitude. My ways, saith the Lord, are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Isaiah 55, 6 through 9. Number three, there's a biblical command to have the right attitude. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, said in 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 2:16. When I go to the second book of 2 Corinthians 10, here's what I read. For the weapons of our warfare are not human attributes. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not human ideas, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 2:10, cast down imaginations. Cast down every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the most amazing passage where it says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let me stop for a moment on that part of the verse which says, casting down imaginations. You know, we're all gifted in that area, aren't we? We can come up with all kinds of imaginations. You've probably had imaginations about your neighbors. You've had imaginations about your husband, your wife, your children. We all have a lot of time spent with imaginations. Cast down imaginations. Cast down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Did you hear what that said? It says, get rid of those things that are opposed to the knowledge of God. And then it says, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And I stop right there for a moment to see what this is saying. Bring into captivity. Bring into captivity every thought. You and I have a responsibility of the way we think. What promenades in our mind is eventually going to come out in our words and deeds. Casting down imaginations. Bring into captivity every thought. That's God's plan for us. Number four. The Christian is to function in an orderly and precise manner. The Christian is to function in an orderly and precise manner. In order to do that, there has to be orientation to the will of God. What do I mean by orientation to the will of God? I mean that we think God's thoughts. We call that vertical thinking, not horizontal thinking. In Romans chapter 12, all of us, I trust, have memorized this verse. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When I look at Romans 12:2, here it is. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And the Greek word there is metamorpho, which means a complete transformation. It's like the transformation of that beautiful little animal that we see fluttering around, magnificently colored butterfly. But what we realize or don't realize is that for that butterfly to be what it is that we see with great appreciation, we have to know that that thing goes through various stages. There's the larva stage, the pupa stage. And I don't know all about it, but I understand that it has to go through those various stages for it to come out as a beautiful butterfly. A man saw on the side of this little stick a stage of this butterfly. And it looked like that little thing was having difficulty getting out of there. And he said, I know what I'll do. I'll help that little thing get out so he can fly. But when he tried to help it get out, it killed it. What am I telling you? That butterfly, to be so beautiful, has to go through those various stages. And that's the meaning of the word metamorpho. What does this scripture say? It says, be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed. How are we going to be transformed? It tells us right here. By the renewing of your mind. How are we going to be aristocratic? How are we going to have the characteristics of aristocracy? We're going to have our minds changed. That's what this says. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. 2 Timothy 1:7 is a verse you need to write down. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God does not want us to have a split mind. He does not want us to have a mind that's separated and divided. He wants us to have a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Number 5. A right attitude. That's what we're talking about. Means that when we advance as we should, we're going to have confidence. The word confidence is the word I want you to write, please. Confidence. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have the confidence that if you should die before this day is over, that you'll be absent from the body and be with the Lord in heaven? Do you have that confidence? If you do, what do you base that on? Do you base that on how you feel? Do you base that on the fact that you've observed some ritual like, for instance, water baptism? Have you been sprinkled or baptized? Do you base your salvation on some ritual? Is your salvation based upon the fact that you're a member of some church? Is your salvation based upon the fact that you're trying to keep the Ten Commandments? Is your salvation and the confidence of it based upon the fact that you're trying to do good? How good are you? How good am I? Not very good. The Scripture says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What am I trying to say? What are we confident about? Where is our confidence in salvation? Our confidence is in the Word of God. He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Confidence in what He said. He doesn't make any promises that He doesn't keep. So when we believe, we can put it down. We have been born into His family. We are aristocratic. We're members of the royal family. And we should now have the attitude of aristocracy. What about our confidence in relationship to the Christian life? What are you depending on to be a happy, fulfilled, radiant believer? What are you depending on? Are you depending upon your good works? Are you depending upon your accomplishments in life? What are you depending on? You depend upon what God says. Now, I'm aware of the fact that all of us have the responsibility of doing a lot of things. But doing all these things, however good they are, doesn't bring us the confidence in the Christian life. Now, what am I doing? I'm asking you to write down confidence. We know that if our earthly house, 2 Corinthians 5:1, we know that the earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Number 6. Let me give you 7 points, 7 words. The attitude of aristocracy, number 1, is stability. I'm going to give you these words and say just a word about it. Stability. The Scripture says in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable. If you look up that word in the original text, you will see that it talks about a split-minded individual, double-minded, is unstable. Stability is an attitude of the believer. Prosperity is another word. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prosperity. Another one is the word worldliness. What does the Scripture say about being worldly? In Colossians 3:2, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The fourth word is the word give, giving. The Scripture says, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. Number 5, the word evil. In Matthew 9:4, Jesus said, knowing their thoughts, I said, wherefore think you evil in your hearts? Matthew 9:4. The sixth word is the word arrogance. Galatians 6:3, if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. And word 7 is beauty, inner beauty. In like manner also, the Scripture says that a lady should adorn herself in modest apparel. She should have an attitude of sobriety. She should not be emphasizing the outer, but emphasizing what's on the inside. And that's God's plan in relationship to the attitude of the believer. Now, on the screen, we have not talked about this in this second session, but we have an emphasis on Solomon. And we're going to talk on Wednesday night again about Solomon. However, I need to tell you again that in this 7th chapter, there are better thans. A good name is better than fine perfume. The day of death is better than the day of birth. Better to go to a funeral than to a party. Sorrow is better than laughter. Better to be rebuked by a wise man than to listen to the songs of fools. Better is the end of a matter than its beginning. And patience is better than pride. May we bow for a moment for prayer, please. God's plan is so fantastic and wonderful, and He wants us to have the attitude of aristocracy. We've tried this morning to spell this out. It's extremely important that we as believers have the right attitude. Our attitude will motivate us and empower us and strengthen us and give to us joy and peace and contentment every single day. We have to have an attitude of aristocracy. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. To those who hear this message by way of the internet, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I want to assure you that God has for you better things than you've had experienced in the past. And that is, you can believe and accept Him as your Savior and know without doubt that heaven is your eternal home. I'd encourage you now to believe and accept Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Father, thank you so much today for your grace. Thank you for the challenge that comes from your wonderful word that you have for us, a magnificent plan that we can have vertical thinking, not horizontal thinking, but vertical thinking. We can think the thoughts of our Lord and fulfill His plan and find ourselves as happy, radiant, successful, triumphant believers. And we thank you for the provisions that you've made that we might have just that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.